We're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel by Luke, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 26 of this chapter. There are those who deny the truth of the virgin birth of Christ. They say it only appears at two places in the New Testament where it's spoken of, and they have reference to the Gospel by Luke and the Gospel by Matthew. They say Paul has nothing to say about it. The problem is Paul has something to say about it. He speaks about it in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says God was manifest in the flesh. In Galatians chapter 4, he speaks about it. He says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And he speaks about it in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1 and verse 4. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So, it isn't true that he isn't, the virgin birth is not spoken of, and the birth of Christ is not spoken of in other passages. And I happen to be one of those who even believes that Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews. And in the second chapter of the Hebrews, it tells us that Christ took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Now, in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, you'll notice, and this is a portion of the Word of God that is so easy to outline. And on Monday nights in our Bible studies, we've been discussing outlining Scripture and how to make an outline. Here's one of the easier passages to do it with. For you'll notice, the angel speaks three times, and Mary speaks three times. So, there are three, so we'll have 6 points to the outline of this passage. Verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now let's look to the Lord in thanksgiving. Our Father, we praise you tonight that it is written of thy dear Son, God was manifest in the flesh. And John tells us the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is he who gave real meaning to the city of Bethlehem. It is he who gave a message of generous song gracious song to the shepherds. And we bless you, O God of our praise, that we have a song to sing because of the redemption that has been accomplished at Calvary's cross through thy dear Son, and through that redemption that has been applied to us through the gracious work of the Spirit of God. We thank you tonight for redemption accomplished and for redemption applied. We pray for the needs of this assembly, and we ask you to abundantly bless your word tonight and use this assembly to bear fruit for thy glory, for thy praise, that the name of our Lord may be known by many others through the preaching of the gospel. We think of those who are laid aside, especially our brother Bob Montgomery, and we thank you for the good news that he is recovering well and with the anticipation of coming home on Friday. May it be a realized anticipation, and may the lips of thy people praise you because of it. We think of Jack Lambert tonight, and for Peggy, and we just ask you to graciously undertake for Jack. And we commend them to you, and ask you to work in their lives. We think of Mr. Sutton's brother. How difficult it is to see the suffering, and to realize that death is going to claim bodies. And we ask you to graciously work in these lives according to your will and according to your good pleasure. We thank you, our Father, for everyone who has placed personal faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and knows the reality of the forgiveness of sins. And we ask you to so work in us and through us that the word of God will be effectually ministered by us to the praise of the glory of his grace, in whose name we give thee our thanks, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you examine this passage, you'll notice it was the angel Gabriel that was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. We find where Mary lived, and we notice, according to verse 27, to whom he was sent, to a virgin, who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, and he was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. But in verse 28, in the beginning, in the middle of the verse, you have what I call the angel's salutation. For he saluted her. Hail, he says, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Hail. Now, that means joy to thee. This is a usual oriental salutation. And she was called this and saluted in this way because she was to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mother of the infant Jesus. Now, it was a lot different what was spoken to Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was told her that she was going to bear children with sorrow. But here is a woman who is addressed, who is going to bring forth a son, and she's highly favored because of it. In other words, here is a message of peace, and it revokes the sentence of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. While it revokes the sentence, it also fulfills it. Now, I know that idolatrous Rome has changed the salutation of the angel into idolatry and the worship of Mary. But Mary was saluted in this way by the angel, highly favored. That simply means that she found favor with God. Now, here is a poor virgin from a humble town in Israel who is chosen to be the mother of Christ. Now, Gabriel also saluted Daniel in Daniel chapter 10 with the same expression. And also in chapter 9 and verse 23 of the book of Daniel, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Daniel was highly favored because of the revelation that God gave to him. Now the word blessed. Blessed art thou among women. This is said of quite a few in the Old Testament. One in particular, a woman, in Judges chapter 5 and verse 24, to the wife of Heber the Kenite. You remember her name. Her name was Jael. You remember what she did. It was after the battle of, in which Barak and Deborah were involved, and Israel defeated the king of Hazor. And Sisera and the army of Harosheth and the army. And Sisera fled. He fled into the tent of Jael, and he wanted water, and she gave him milk. And she put him to sleep. And then she took a tent pin and hammered it through his head and pinned him to the ground. And the battle was over, and the victory is won. And in the Song of Deborah, in Judges chapter 5 and verse 24, he speaks of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, and what she had done and how blessed a person she was because she wrought deliverance in Israel. And when you think of that word deliverance, it is the word salvation. While she saved Israel, in a physical sense, the Lord Jesus saved his people in a spiritual sense, first of all, and then ultimately in a physical sense. Now you have the angel salutation, and there is a result. Mary is troubled. And you have it in verse 29. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." She cast in her mind, I don't read that she said anything. She was talking to herself without opening her lips, but the angel read her thoughts. You ever talk to yourself? Well, I often do. I often talk to myself. I tell my wife, I like to talk to an intelligent person, you know. and then that intelligent person always agrees with me. You know, you can go, but we tell ourselves things that we wouldn't want to say out loud. At least I do. And you see, Mary is troubled. And it was never customary in the East to salute females. And even in Iran and Iraq and in some of those countries in the East today, you don't go up and salute females. Now, while you may do that in the United States, you don't do it there. Now, and Mary is uncertain about the angel, and she's certainly uncertain about the message that he delivers. For he delivers a message to her. Hail, thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. So, we find the angel's salutation, and Mary is troubled. Now we have the angel's declaration. In verses 30 to verse 33, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God." In other words, God expects us and he wants us to live without fear. Fear not. There are at least 52 fear nots in the Bible. One for every week. God doesn't want us to live without fear or to live with fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, "Fear hath torment." And when we speak about favor, thou art highly favored. Favor in Scripture has reference to the favor that divine grace bestows upon one. So, the angel's declaration here, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God." And then he declares three great things. First, the fact of his greatness. he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What a statement. But there's not only the fact of his greatness, there's a fact of his grace. He says, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. What a statement. Mary, you're going to conceive and bring forth a son. And then you have the fact of his glory. The Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And for the past number of weeks, in fact 5 Wednesdays, we looked at the expression, the sure mercies of David. And the sure mercies of David are connected with 2 Samuel 7 and the Davidic covenant. That covenant that God made with David and was confirmed to him. And David on his deathbed could speak of a covenant made with him, ordered in all things and sure. But he looked at his immediate surroundings and his family connection, and he says, though it be not so with me now. It isn't that way now. He couldn't see the fulfillment of it other than by faith. And here we have the fulfillment of it. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Thou shalt bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. There was no doubt in Mary's mind as to the gender of the child. Mary knew it was going to be a boy. I read an article that was sent to me through the mail by a family who had 3 girls. And his wife was expecting a 4th. And of course, they had that sound business that they give you and they can tell what it's going to be. They told him it was going to be another girl. And after a couple, is that 3 girls, the odds against having a boy is 1 in every 250. That's amazing too. I didn't realize that. So it said in this announcement that I got through the mail today. And of course, the baby had a rapid heartbeat. That was another sign of a girl. But it was a boy. It was a boy that came. Now the thing is, the angel said, going to be a boy. There's no arguing over the gender. God knows what he's doing. Now, in this passage, there are 7 shalls. And the first 4 of these shalls have been fulfilled literally. And I believe the last 3 shall be also. Now, as to the angel's salutation, Mary's troubled. So we have the angel's declaration, and Mary is baffled. For verse 34 says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now Mary answers similar to Zacharias in this, in the previous portion in Luke chapter 1. Now Zacharias was filled with unbelief. Mary isn't. Mary is filled with wonder. She's baffled. How can this be? I don't know a man. And that word know there doesn't mean intellectual knowledge. It means I've not had intercourse with a man. Is what that word know means. And it has the mean, and it has the idea of knowing intimately. And that's the thought in Romans 8 when it says, whom God foreknew, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And it has a reference to an intimate knowledge of the person. As you read in the prophecy of Amos chapter 4, God says, you only have I known of all the families on the earth. And he's speaking to Israel as a nation. Now God knows every family on earth. But it has reference to an intimate knowledge, an intimate relationship with them. And the same is true here. When Mary says, I can't understand this. I've never known a man. I've never had an intimate relationship. Oh, the angel goes on, and the angel now we have the angel's explanation. Oh, how gracious of God. And in verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. In other words, Mary's faith repairs Eve's unbelief. With Eve's unbelief came trouble in childbirth. As we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then Mary does something that's exceedingly precious here. You'll notice. Here we have the how of the virgin birth. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That, therefore that holy thing, the Son of God. Here we have a great statement. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I've heard babies called a lot of things in my time. I've heard them called angels. I've heard them called a lot of sweet things. I've never heard of a child called that holy thing, the Son of Christ. And it was announced concerning him even before he was born. That holy thing that shall be born of thee. Now, this is in contrast to his seeming humanity that he's spoken of in John 1. And verse 34. Did you notice I said his seeming humanity? John 1:34, where we read this. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. That holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Here we have a statement concerning the Son of God. You see, the statement stand in contrast to one another. And now the angel uses an illustration to give Mary an understanding of how God works. Now, behold, is what he says in verse 36, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, thy cousin. Here we have a relative. Elizabeth was a mother of John the Baptist. Mary was of the tribe of Judah. Elizabeth was of the tribe of Levi. Yet John and Jesus were relatives, humanly speaking. Their first cousins. A son. The sex of the unborn child is foretold. Elizabeth was barren, but yet the angel knew all about it. Elizabeth was up in years. It was too late for her to bear a child. But yet she was pregnant and she was going to bear a child. So John is a miracle baby. And so is the Lord Jesus. And there are two times in Scripture that this expression is used, how can these things be? It is used here, and it has reference to birth. It is used by Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and it has reference to birth. Nicodemus said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? In each case, our Lord explained the truth. Here is the angel explaining it. He explained to her that she shall conceive in her womb by the Holy Spirit, and the power of the highest is going to overshadow her. And then to confirm what he said, he illustrated. He illustrated, and he used Elizabeth and Zechariah as an illustration of what he was saying. Now, to Nicodemus, concerning the new birth, Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Shall a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So our Lord explained the new birth to him, and then he illustrated it. And that great illustration he used was As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, the new birth flows out of the redemption that was accomplished on the cross on Calvary's Hill. And just as with Israel of old, so it is with us now. The Son of Man must be lifted up. How can these things be? And then he adds, nothing is impossible with God. And when we think of the new birth in particular, just as the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a miracle, but nothing is impossible with God. And whenever I think of God's electing love and the wondrous grace of our Lord Jesus, God saves the most unlikely people. I think of that every time I look in the mirror. God saves the most unlikely people. I wasn't a candidate for salvation by nature. I was a child of wrath. I was a candidate for the lake of fire. We were children of wrath, even as others. I do not deserve to be saved. Here we have a great illustration of the wondrous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now notice, after the explanation of the angel's salutation, Mary is troubled. The angel's declaration, Mary is baffled. But the angel's explanation, Mary is humbled. She says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now Rome in idolatry made Mary the queen of heaven. But with Mary, there's something else. With Mary, there is genuine humility. In other words, Mary accepts all the stigma that's going to be attached to bringing forth the Son of God. And there was a lot of stigma attached to it. You remember what the Pharisees said to the Lord in John 8? We be not born of fornication. They were telling him, you're an illegitimate child. You have nothing to talk about. And you claim to know Abraham? Huh, you're an illegitimate child. And you see that cast aspersions back upon Mary. Mary says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, I'm your servant. I'm yours to do as you like. There is genuine humility. But more than that, there is joyful faith. For when she went to see Elizabeth, that's the very thing she did right away. She went to see her cousin Elizabeth. There was joyful faith. For when Mary just simply spoke, John the Baptist, the babe that Elizabeth was carrying, leaped. And then there was quiet resignation. She simply submitted to the will of God. But there was active zeal. And there was faithful love. All these things can be said of Mary. When we contrast Mary and Zacharias, the two to whom the angel Gabriel appears in Luke chapter 1, with Mary it is the silence of faith. She simply submits. With Zacharias, it's the silence of unbelief. He was made dumb. The angel of the Lord smote him and he couldn't speak. He couldn't speak until John the Baptist was born, until it was fulfilled what the angel said to him. And that brings me to something I learned years ago at a Bible conference. Thanksgiving days were spent when I was in Lebanon at a Bible conference. All day Thanksgiving, two speakers on Thanksgiving morning, three in the afternoon, and two at night. So we got seven messages that day, plus all the fellowship that we had in between. And we ate right at the chapel. And it was a great time of fellowship. I missed that. And I remember we had Richard Hill with us, who had been a missionary to Persia. And Richard Hill, we were a few of us young men. I remember Richard Barlow was one of them. Richard and myself and one or two others, we cornered Richard Hill and we were talking, and the subject of angels came up. And someone asked the question of Richard Hill. He said, so and you believe that there's such a thing as a guardian angel? And Richard Hill got my attention quicker than you can ever imagine. He said, yes, I do, but I don't want to have anything to do with it. And we asked him to explain. Well, he said, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, it says, concerning angels, that every disobedience received a just recompense of reward. He said, when angels sin, there is no salvation provided for angels. Angels only know one thing, absolute obedience. They know nothing else. Every transgression and every disobedience, they never could say no to God once and not fall. And he said, then he went on and he said, when Zacharias in Luke chapter 1 argued with the angel smote him immediately because of his unbelief. And then he went back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 32 is Israel and the golden calf, you remember, at Mount Sinai. In chapter 33, there's a discussion that goes on between Moses and God. And it's a great discussion. And God says to Moses, he said, I'll send my angel with you and carry you up into the promised land. Moses said, no. He said, if you don't go with us, I don't want to have dealings with an angel. I want to have dealings with you. Do you know why? The Lord is very long-suffering with us. He's very gracious. An angel would never be. I learned an awful lot that afternoon. I'll never forget that. You see, beloved, God didn't send an angel to indwell us. He sent the Holy Spirit. One just like himself. This is why, when we read concerning the church in Ephesians 3, that the angelic hosts are learning about God by the behavior of believers and by their audible worship unto the Lord. There's so much concerning this. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, for this cause ought a woman to have authority on her head because of the angels. I was talking with a preacher the other day who is beginning to get awake concerning some of these truths. And we were discussing this. The head covering of the woman. And I said, you know, this fellow happened to be a Baptist. I said to him, you know, you Baptist fellows are rather, it amazes me. You want a school, a Christian school, in order that you can teach your children creationism about creative order. And yet when God gives the sign of creative order to the church, that the church is to obey, you disregard it. I don't understand that. He just looked at me and shook his head. He didn't know what to say. But it's the truth. It is the truth. You see, God is instructing the angelic hosts to the church. And they're learning the manifold wisdom of God. And angels know nothing but strict obedience to God. They know nothing but that. Every transgression, every disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. I tell you,
That should give us concern concerning our activity in relation to the Lord. Our Lord is to be obeyed. And when Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," she said, "I'm yours. You may do whatever you want with me." That's real faith. And that's genuine submission and humility.